Is it a safe assumption that everybody here, we'll say it negative, is there anybody here that doesn't chant japa every day? Something. Looking at our young people, there's one hand, an honest, brave soul. You chant every day? Every day. Something. One, at least one Hare Krishna. At least something. Every day. Okay. A fair amount of time has been spent to help audiences in here and there to deepen their absorption in the holy name. So that's the intention of all of this. And how many of you have one of these? How many don't have one of these? Okay. So quietly, inconspicuously, our facilitators are going to see that you get one. I think you better pay attention to the color and all of that, because we're not there yet. So I'm calling it a handout. And the theme of this time together is coming from Nectar of Instruction text number 7. There we go. Deep purple. Which is a good contrast for this other color. So, it's right in front of you. As soon as you have one of these, the translation of text 7. We're going to get there. So I request you, please don't get absorbed in the paper right now. From moment to moment, I'll make some reference to what's on the paper, and then get absorbed. That's great. Bottom of the first page, it speaks about the intention of this first class. So one of my favorite devotees in the Hare Krishna movement is Bhurijan Prabhu. Yay, Bhurijan Prabhu. Because we went to college together, and I've learned from Bhurijan Prabhu practically every step of my Krishna consciousness. He gave me my first Krishna conscious literature. He doesn't remember, but I do. It was a Back to Godhead magazine. I didn't know what Back to Godhead magazine was all about, and there's a nice story. But when we graduated from college, he went this way, I went that way. And then later on, our paths intersected at the VIHE, Vrindavan Institute of Higher Education, which he worked on and developed and was the leader. Now it's going on while he's remote. But it was his desire to help devotees in the Hare Krishna movement get deeper study of Prabhupada's books and their philosophy and so on. So one of the classes that I taught, because I wanted to spend a month in Vrindavan during Kartik, and I'm too service-minded, I couldn't just go and stay in Vrindavan, I had to have some service. So the service was, I volunteered to teach at the VIHE, and he signed me up. So I became one of his teachers and one of his students, and one of his classes was another book that he had just published called The Art of Teaching. Bhurijan spent some number of years, 5 to 7 years, something like that, developing what's in that book. And the book is like, it's thick. And I remember taking the class because part of Bhurijan Prabhu's style is every class for the whole month had the same message. And it stuck. So you'll hear me also repeating some things, but one of the things that I heard from him every day for 1 month was, if you want to effectively reach those who you're teaching, the audience, if you're a teacher, have an explicit educational objective. An explicit, so we spend lots of time, what does explicit mean? What does educational mean? What does objective mean? It went in. I mean, I'm not perfect at it, but it went in. It's something that helps guide my service to the Hare Krishna movement and new people, etc. Explicit educational objective. So at the bottom of page one, here it is. Compliments of Bhurijan Prabhu. At least what went in. So the primary objective of this morning's class is twofold. There's two. Realistically and practically, enter into a mood of service to Nama Prabhu, by which, in Rupa Goswami's language, one gradually comes to understand who Krishna really is. Well, you know, if our desire, our desires are different, and even the desire to know who Krishna really is different. Even for one person, it may be different from day to day or from hour to hour. But for one who really wants to know who Krishna really is, there's a doorway. And that doorway is the mood of service to Nama Prabhu. So, one of the objectives of this morning class is that, to at least give the emphasis and the tools for that. Nice objective, following Rupa Goswami. And the second is to deepen our appreciation and realization of the non-difference between Nama and Nami, the name of Krishna and the person named. That reference is, I'm sure many of you know, it's from Padma Purana, Abhina Twam Nama Namino. Abhina, non-different. Twam means ness, or having the quality of Abhina, Twam, Nama and Nami. Nama, name. And Nami is the person named. And there's no difference. The name, Krishna, and the person, Krishna, are both persons. And it's the same person. The form is this and the form is that, but it's the same person. And it's form and person and absolutely non-different. So that's a nice idea. Now, how are we going to enter more deeply into realizing that? That's the two. I'm not going to do this each class, but I wanted to share. That's an objective. And you go to the top of the next page. There's going to be some request, an application request, or an exercise, you know, that's educational language, something that you can do while we're together and after we part. Because one of the really important things in advancing on the path of bhakti is application. Because it's really easy to nod your head and say, yeah, and then not apply it. We're very familiar with that territory. So this is an appeal. It's not anything more than that. To apply. So it's an exercise. It's in this section. Now we can put the papers away. And where's the little Leela Smarana? There's a little device that goes into the USB slot that allows the slide to advance. Ah, you got it. That's not it. That's something else. There it is. Beautiful. One of the USB slots, whatever side you like. This is for the remote gadget. Okay. So I've called this, you'll see this slide again, Awakening Nama Rasa, because if we're going to have some realization of who Krishna really is, the medium for that is bhakti from Bhagavad Gita. Bhaktya mama bijanati yavanyas chasmi tattva. We can only through devotional service, and through devotional service, knowing Krishna means there's rasa. And awakening that relationship with Krishna, the rasa. And it's through the process of hearing. So prior to hearing, there's sound that you have to hear. So chanting and hearing. A little sharing. One of my heroes is Jiva Goswami. I have no problem saying that. He has been a hero for a long time. So in Bhakti Sandarbha, one of the sections elaborately explains among the nine processes of bhakti, one is the place upon which all the others rest and that one is chanting. Now, preceding chanting may be hearing, just like, you know, I didn't start chanting Hare Krishna until I heard Hare Krishna. But it's the chanting that permits me to hear in an ongoing fashion. So chanting, so elaborately, this and that, sideways, forwards, backwards, up and down. Chanting allows hearing. Especially if you're in your home. Or, you know, you can sit in a kirtan and just hear kirtan and not chant, but we're meant to also chant. So now, normally classes following Srila Prabhupada begin with Jairada Mata, but we're going to begin differently with this nice song from Gitavali that's part of Namastaka, so this is song 2 out of 8, and looks like Uma's all ready to do the chanting. She just needs a mridanga player and a kartal player. She's got the kartal player ready. Now comes our mridanga player. Bhajana so Vishwam Bhajana Manasa
Rama, Rama Rama.
We'll go through the translation in a while. There's a little pause. The purpose of the song is to enhance these two main objectives. Now, just for the sake of our organizers, could I see a show of hands of people that did not receive one of these? Because it'll tell us how many more we have to print. I see one hand. I see two. I see about five. So let's print 10 because some people may come later. Oh, he has some right there. How many are there? Five. Perfect. Five. Look at that. Look at that. Okay. Five, 10 more. So here's the thread that goes through this time together. There's Upadesh Amrita. Let us chant together, not responsively. Text 7. Syat Krishna Nama Charitadi Sitapya Vidya Pito Patapta Rasanasya Narochikano Kintvadarad anudinam kalo saiva jushta sadvikramad bhavatitad gadamulahantri. Notice, I put this word sita in different color letters because that's the word that this morning class is going to focus on. Sita is translated in Prabhupada's writing as sugar candy. The translation. The holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish, rasa, awakens within his tongue, and his desire, material, is gradually destroyed at the root. So the focus this morning is on sita. Now, has anybody here had jaundice? I did too. And I can verify. Nisri, or rock candy, sugar candy, tastes bitter. Because the disease, so the comparison is, as a metaphor, the disease of avidya makes it such that the holy name which is sweet tastes not sweet. We don't have a taste. Then the rest is there. But the wonderful thing is that taste can be awakened. And that's what we want, right? The taste, nama rasa, can be awakened. So the obstacle is avidya. Avidya. And Rupa Goswami speaks something similar. It's in your, should be, in your little handout. Yeah. Chaitanya Charitamrita. My thing isn't numbered, so CC Mudge is 17136. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukihi Jiva Dao Swayam Avas Paratyata. Translation. Therefore, material senses cannot appreciate Krishna's holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes. When a conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness and renders service by using his tongue to chant the Lord's holy name and taste the remnants of the Lord's food, the tongue is purified. And one gradually comes to understand who Krishna really is. So if a goal for you is to gradually or quickly come to know who Krishna really is, there's a prescribed method. Service to the name, and of course, one of our favorite activities is Krishna Prasadam. There's this wonderful video clip. I'm not going to show it right now, but I'll just describe 3 minutes of Prabhupada speaking at the Brooklyn Temple in Henry Street. And I remember the lecture, I was sitting there, although it's not in the video, that I was sitting there. Prabhupada was explaining how the Hare Krishna movement began. And he said, it began for the holy name. We really didn't have anything. And he said it about 4 times. People may have not understood, they may have understood. Understanding, not understanding is not the essence. It created auspiciousness. The holy name created auspiciousness. He said it over and over. And we didn't even have a drum. Just kartals. We didn't even have prasadam, the other half of this verse. We just had the holy name. But by chanting the holy name, the Kali Yuga-ized Lower East Side in New York City and everything else result in creating, moved his hand, creating auspiciousness. It created auspiciousness. Then he went on to say, and then came dancing. And he chuckled and said, Brahmananda and Achyutananda. They would dance, and people began to dance. But it all began with the holy name. It cures the disease of avidya. It's the medicine, although the taste is not. So what's important in this translation highlighted in your handout sheet is service to the name. And in that service to the name, this is a really quick version of Lord Chaitanya's instructions on the same, which Rupa Goswami is, of course, following in the footsteps of or expanding, the first verse of Shikshastaka. And the first verse of Shikshastaka similarly describes Chaita Darpana Marjanam. Yes? So, Chaita Darpana Marjanam is quoted by our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, in his purport of these verses. You can look it up later. Really nice verses. It's in chapter 6, is describing the dhyana yoga, meditation, you know, mindfulness. That's the modern word. And in that mature stage of mindfulness comes the stage of samadhi. And these verses are, Krishna is describing samadhi. where the mind doesn't go anywhere else but Krishna. So that takes a while, but when the mind doesn't go anywhere else but Krishna, Prabhupada writes, this chaita darpana marjanam, through the process given by Lord Chaitanya, cleanses the avidya, and then bhava mahada vagni nirvapanam, which is the equivalent, Prabhupada writes, of nirvana. Chant Hare Krishna and you can attain what Buddhists are striving for, and that's just number 2 of 7. Keep going. Hey, what's after nirvana? In one of the colleges, the first visit that I made to a college, they asked me to speak on the topic, the path of yoga, beyond nirvana. That was the first class, like the people that came. All right, that's a nice topic for first-timers, beyond nirvana. So listen carefully. Those that know a little bit about Buddhism, because I visit China, I've had to learn about Buddhism more than I did before I visited China. Buddha's teaching says the root cause of suffering is desire. If you want to become free from suffering, become free from desire. And how do you do that? Meditation. And surround that meditation in the life of goodness. And that meditation is be in the moment. In my college days, it was Be Here Now. It was a book by, you know, kind of famous, infamous person who was a former Harvard University professor who quit and became an impersonalist, who visited the university that I was attending and then did the whole college circuit, and he was chanting Hare Krishna. And I was like, wow, I didn't know what impersonalism was. I liked Hare Krishna. And he said, become one with the chant. I said, wow, that's cool. What does it mean? Become one with the chant. And then, so I attended other sessions, and then he started explaining what it means. In the beginning, there's you and the chant. But when you get really absorbed, it's just the chant. I said, forget this guy. What he's saying is, you become Krishna. Poor Krishna. I'm Krishna. Oh, I'm leaving this guy. But I continued to, I liked chanting Hare Krishna. Then I met devotees. After that, I met devotees. And so the bridge from become Krishna to become Krishna's devotee, become the servant of the name. Then you can begin to understand who Krishna really is. But you have to serve the name. So if you're a Buddhist, what's beyond the moment? The goal is be in the moment, be in the moment, be in the moment. Don't go over there with the past. Don't go over there with the future. Stay in the moment. What's the goal? Go beyond the moment. What's that? It's enlightenment. It's got a name, nirvana. Read this purport carefully. Prabhupada explains, nirvana means, quote, cessation of material activity, unquote. When you cease material activity, where does it take you? Nothing. Void. You go from suffering to nothingness. From an illusory somethingness to a absolute nothingness. Lovely, huh? So what's beyond nirvana? Prabhupada explains it. Beyond nirvana is Swarupena Vyavastati. This is a phrase in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10, where the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam are identified and then explained. I think it's text 6 of chapter 10. Shukadeva Goswami uses this because one of the 10 topics is mukti. So what's mukti? From the Srimad Bhagavatam perspective, it's this. Sva rupa, in your own spiritual form, what do? It's the permanent situation of the form of the living entity after he gives up the changeable, gross, and subtle material bodies. And even before you give up the bodies, you give up the bodily conception. That's nice. We all agree. Hey, I'm spirit soul, not this body. How much are we living our lives that way? How much should we be absorbed in who we really are? That would be nice. And the doorway for that is the holy name. And the doorway to the holy name is the mood of service to the holy name. The classic example given by Narad Muni himself is when he gave up that body from his previous lifetime, the language is simultaneously as lightning and illumination, not lightning and thunder, because there can be some delay. Lightning and illumination, they're simultaneous. He gave up the body and accepted his spiritual body, which he still has. His body is not material. Swarupain, and then what do? Devotional service. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti explains different than Buddha explains. And he explains that the Bhagavad Gita's message is the root cause of suffering is avidya. And from ignorance comes ignorant desire, because the soul has desire, natural state has desire. So kill desire, you kill the soul. Nihilism. You can't kill the soul, the soul's eternal. So it's artificial. Or Prabhupada writes, there's no such thing as void in the creation of God. There's two things, God and that which comes from God. There's not a third thing. There's no void in the creation of God. It's notional. Where's this place of void? No such thing as a place of void. So where do Buddhists that become, that reach nirvana, where do they go? That's an interesting question. One writer, one of our acharyas, says the causal ocean. Neither here nor there. They go into the causal ocean. You can't, because you can't go out of existence. You can't stop desire. So just purify desire. Remove ignorance. And when you so ignorance results in ignorant desire, results in ignorant activity, results in suffering. Solution. Become free from ignorance. Do lots of study, right? And then you get lots of knowledge and then you can overcome ignorance. No. You have to awaken bhakti. And the best means for awakening bhakti is service to the holy name. So this is the introductory slide for that, the path of yoga beyond nirvana. This is taken from a BBT production on Bhagavad Gita Interactive. Kishore, you remember that one? This is one of their graphics. And then there's the path leading up to, we just added, Krishna, joining again in our eternal relation with Krishna that we know exists, but it's very distant from us consciousness-wise because of avidya. How to bridge that avidya gap? Service to the name. So carrying on, chetadarpanamarjanam, bhavamahada, vagni nirvapanam, etc. So it brings one to this, the ocean of ananda. That's in the mature stage, in the bhava stage. There's the sadhana stage and then there's the bhava stage. There's this ocean of ananda that it's really nice. More than really nice. It's ananda. There's no limit to it. There's limit to oceans. There's no limit to the ananda ambuddhi. And then following that is the stage of prema. So anybody that's in this room probably knows you can get an A in your exam if you're asked, what's the goal of the practice of bhakti, the path of bhakti, and it's Krishna prema. Now, what our understanding of what that is probably kind of dim. We can get it, give an answer, but what is our understanding of what that is? In Rupa Goswami's explanation of what that is, it's in Nectar of Devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it derives even the conception of liberation. Even the conception of mukti minus the spiritual activity of the soul. That conception, that is sayuja mukti, derives even the conception of sayuja mukti. And in another one of Rupa Goswami's books called Padyavali, he quotes text 28. It's at the bottom of one of these pages. I'm going to read. Oh Lord, this is, the author is Sridhar Swami, Bhagavatam commentator Sridhar Swami. Oh Lord, is your impersonal spiritual effulgence not always present everywhere? Even so, it has not been able to break even a single small leaf of the tree of repeated birth and death. On the other hand, the moment your holy name is taken by the tongue, it thoroughly shatters the tree of birth and death down to its roots. Of these two, the spiritual effulgence or the holy name, which should be served. I hope you're appreciating the theme. Service to Krishna is awakened by service to the name. And by that service to the name mood, the jaundice of avidya is finished, suffering is finished, and then much better, the real activity of the living entity is awakened. Even in this lifetime, you don't have to wait to give up your body and see that good place. It's miracle. And it's true. And what's our qualification for receiving that gift? Zip. We're disqualified. We can give lots of disqualifications. It's just causeless mercy from the most munificent of all incarnations of the Lord, giving what no incarnation has ever even given before, not just Krishna prema, but Braja prema. And all we have to do is change the channel from service to our senses and mind to service to the name. Small thing, right? We're constitutionally servants, just change the channel. Takes a while because we're attached, unfortunately, to our sources of misery. We're not attached to the misery. We're attached to the sources of misery. So we have to learn to become attached to the name. Now, Chaitanya Charitamrita, I'm going to go back in your handout sheet, sorry, page 2, is this nice verse, spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let us chant it together. Bahu janma kadi yadi shravana kirtana tabhutana paya krishna pade prema dana. Translation. If one is infested with the 10 offenses in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, despite his endeavor to chant the holy name for many births, he will not get the love of Godhead. That is the ultimate goal of this chanting. So we can say, The obstacle is offenses. So there's a really long purport, which is in your handout sheet. And if you flip over to the next page, I put in big letters and underlined it, so it's really easy to find. Service to the name. Two references. The holy name becomes manifest when one engages in the service of the holy name. It's not just the behavior, it's the consciousness. So this fellow that was chanting Hare Krishna saying, become one with Krishna, become Krishna, he was chanting the holy name, but Nama Prabhu was not there because of his offense. So to become offenseless, we have to chant following Rupa Goswami and Lord Chaitanya in our disciplic succession, where we're learning to be in the service of the name. Continuing. One must engage his tongue in the service of the holy name. Our Krishna consciousness movement is based on this principle. We try to engage all the members of Krishna consciousness movement in the service of the holy name. Now, service of the holy name may begin just from chanting. You know, it's just like, take prasadam. Many people take prasadam and they don't know it's prasadam. They're not like serving prasadam. They're serving their tongue. They like prasadam. But as purification takes place, to go deeper into the mood of taking shelter of the holy name, Sharanagati, it's serving the name. The Krishna consciousness movement is based upon that. So it's a good question to ask yourselves, why do I chant? Well, you know, different answers. I know some people that begin chanting because they feel some of their stress. I mean, in China, it's like we have, like, you know, a different venue than a temple, but have a mantra meditation workshop. You have to keep the language, you know, careful. Mantra meditation workshop. And so after some time, they do some mantra meditation along with candle meditation and other things to learn what meditation feels like. So then after they experiment with mantra meditation, what would you experience? I feel much less stress. Okay, that's a good reason. But as for us, devotees, to go more deeply into the holy name, it's not just how the name is going to serve me. It's, let's say, to come to the position where we actually understand who Krishna is, or really understand who Krishna is. That would be nice. Or whatever other. Another is that the name and the person are not different. I'd like to have that realization. I'd like to have that experience. So whenever I'm hearing and chanting, I realize Krishna is there. I'm with Krishna. It's a notion that we agree on because it's in the scripture and our acharyas teach us, but we don't have the realization on at the heart level, on the experiential level. So driving the why, or the what we chant is your intention. Sankalpa is one way to say what sankalpa is. It's intention. There are different ways of, depending on the application. For example, in Karmakanda Yajnas, it's a key to have the priest know what your intention is. Because based upon your intention, he'll select a particular deva to worship. And then along with the deva that you're worshiping is the consciousness of your intention. You know, removal of obstacles by Ganesh and etc. So that's the Karmakanda notion of sankalpa. And the bhakti conception of sankalpa is what's your intention. So the exercise that comes later in this morning's handout section is while we're together, just paraphrase it simply, But I encourage you, I invite you, no arm twisting, you don't have to, but while we're together, pay attention to what is your intention. Like, why am I chanting? Why am I here? That's a good one. Why are we attending this? Why am I here participating with you? And why are you here interacting with the rest of us? Whatever that is, keep that focus. I'm suggesting two things. At least my intention is service to the name grows because our acharyas say it. So let's apply it consciously, intentionally, service to the name. And something that will help is the name and the person named. We're associating with Krishna directly. How fortunate. So that's the application or the exercise. It's in your document. You can read it later because of time. Then comes what? If this is the why, then what am I going to do? Well, that's the process itself, but before you do the process, it's a good idea to know why you're doing the process. Why? And Rupa Goswami helps us have a very clear idea of what the purpose or acting in your relationship with Krishna is. So I could easily spend a whole class or a whole seminar on this Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam phrase, because it's the key verse. And it's the essence of the key verse. It's the Swarup Lakshana, the key essential verse of the whole of Nectar Devotion. This one. And the others are marginal or Tatasta Lakshana. You know, the Anyabhilasha Drishanyam Gyanakarmadhyan Navratam. That's that which we know very well. You don't avilash, don't pursue the desire of fruitive activity and mental speculation. Okay, that's tatasta. What's the swarup lakshana? The primary characteristic is this. Again, this is Jiva Goswami's commentary on Nectar of Devotion or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's acting, choosing what we do because it's pleasing to Krishna, that's the what, and then in the consciousness that it's an offering unto Krishna. It's totally different than, or it's the difference between Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. It's not liberationist oriented. I don't want the bad karma. I don't want good or bad karma. I want karma-free activity. But bhakti, Krishna should be pleased. And then how specifically for us, the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Yoga Dharma, it's chanting the name and chanting the name in the mood of service. So how do we do that? Now comes the translation of the song. Now our sound technician needs to be ready to adjust the sound level because what follows is a recording of a dramatic reading of the translation. There's the title of the song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song.
All glories. All glories to the holy name of the Lord, the abode of immortal transcendental bliss. The supreme absolute truth, who possesses an eternal form of sacred syllables, has descended in the form of the holy name. Thereby, he shows mercy to his own devotees, while showering boundless compassion upon all fallen souls. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's called by different names such as Hari, Krishna, and Rama. He is the auspicious resting place of all living entities within the universe, and he delights the minds of all souls. Wise sages maintain great reverence for his holy name and constantly sing it by filling their mouths with the sound. O Lord Krishna, in the form of named syllables, you possess all supreme powers and are engaged in bestowing pure auspiciousness upon the living beings. Without you, there is no other friend to rescue us from the ocean of material existence. You have come for the deliverance of all fallen souls. For all souls within this world, there is much misery and sorrow. Oh, Harinam, if someone calls upon you just once, feeling himself very meek and lowly, possessing nothing and seeing no other remedy for his relief, you then easily destroy all his sorrows. If one simply obtains a faint glimpse of your actual identity, then all sorts of terrible miseries are cast far away. Indeed, the very form of suffering itself is easily broken to pieces. Bhaktivinoda says, all glories to the holy name of Lord Hari. Oh, Harinam. Oh, Harinam. I perpetually fall to the ground in hope of attaining the lotus feet. Oh, Harinam. I perpetually fall to the ground in hope of attaining your lotus feet.
So the ideas or the concepts for this morning's presentation are all embedded within this wonderful song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Fantastic Acharya, who made things so simple in the form of a song to teach us the ways of entering into the mysteries of Krishna's real identity through the mood of service to the name. So both of these ideas are there. The name and the person are non-different. We're going to hear more on this this evening. It's such an important concept. Now back to our everyday chanting. We're all too much familiar with distracted chanting. Wouldn't it be nice for distracted chanting to just disappear? Yay! So what we're hearing is, what's needed is proper intention. And we're hearing that ideal intention, most powerful, important intention is serving Nama Prabhu. So the exercise that's in this section is specific to this point. You can look at it later, please. And when intention is clear, what happens is attention becomes focused. This is a Vaisheshika Prabhu play on words. From intention comes attention. And it's true. Supposing you don't have clear intention, good luck with the attention part. You can do all right for some time, and then it fades. And even if your intention is clear, still its attention is stronger and sometimes weaker. That unsteadiness of bhakti is cleared by sustained intention. Then you get better with attentive chanting instead of the distracted kind. And the message for this morning is serving the name, based upon what Acharyas write. So here's a graphic that kind of doctored up a little bit, but it shows a cooking pot. And in the cooking pot is some water and some rice, and you want to cook some rice. So you bring the pot near the fire, and supposing the pot is 6 feet away from the fire, it's going to take a long time. The closer you bring the pot to the fire, the quicker the rice is going to cook, and you can make your offering to Krishna. So this mindfulness or attentiveness between the mind and the name is really important. Intention will really help. So the closer our attention is to the Maha Mantra, that's the pot and the fire, the sooner our consciousness, that's the water in the pot, becomes purified. Pretty simple. Bring the pot near the fire, cook quicker. Bring your attention closer to the name, and the purification will take place more quickly. To have that happen, you need clarity, intention. Something that I heard Prabhupada say a number of times has stayed with me. I wish it was staying with me more. But when a goal is clearly defined, it's very easy to take steps to get there. Conversely, if the goal is not well defined, it's very difficult to take the steps to get there. And Nat Teva Dusvarta Katimi Vishnu. How many times have we heard that in Prabhupada's lectures? That's a message to his dear father. Where'd you learn this? And the answer is, Dad, even if I explained it to you, you couldn't understand. Nor your own efforts, you couldn't understand. Or combination of the two, you couldn't. Matir na krishne paratakswatova natobipadyeta grahakvritanam. Because we're too attached to the temporary and being the enjoyer of the temporary, and that's where we're at. We're stuck. So we don't understand. How do you get unstuck? You have to hear. And the here needs to be applied. That's what the exercise is about. Apply. To bring mindfulness closer to the sound with clear intention. So, abhinatvam namanamino, this is Rupa Goswami's verse, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song is just singing. That's the same message. The name and the person named are the same. There's non-difference, absolute non-difference between the form of Krishna and the name of Krishna. And in each and every name. Isn't that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching? Krishna is fully present in all of his spiritual potencies. How much potency is that? Immeasurable. Lord Brahma learned. What's the extent of Krishna's mystic powers? Answer, no limit. And that form that he saw in the Brahma Vimohan Leela is not different than each one of the names of Krishna. Each one, fully present. Then suppose England doesn't have that understanding. They're somehow unfortunate. Actually, the holy name never come from the mouths of Mayavadis. For although the syllables may be heard, Nama Prabhu with all his transcendental potency does not reside there. Haridas Thakur. Harinam Chintamani. Or another one. Jagatananda Pandit. One cannot chant the holy name of Lord Krishna purely in the company of non-devotees. The sound and syllables of the name may be uttered, but that is not real chanting. So this fellow that was trying to encourage us to become one with the chant, it was not Krishna in his fullness, something else, because of the offense. So Nama Prabhu said, I'm checking out. And then people follow such a person and they fall in the ditch. So we're fortunate. We have mercy. We're not eligible for it, but we got it anyways. Just like say yes. And say yes means something that you do. And here's Prabhupada's teaching on the same. Please accept me. This is from a lecture, 26 Second Avenue, Bhagavad Gita. What does this chanting mean? Please accept me. Lord Chaitanya taught that we should simply cry and we shall simply pray for accepting us. That's all. So this vibration is simply a cry for addressing the Supreme Lord, requesting him, please accept me. Please accept me. So the larger portion of this lecture is in your handout. This is, you know, take home and look at it more closely, review it. Please accept me. Tomorrow we'll be doing our 32-round day. And this evening we'll be having Nama Yagya and different kirtans of during the day today. If you have already completed your chanting, you'll have these other opportunities today and tomorrow. It's a great opportunity for entering into the mood. Please accept me. Try it. I invite you. I can even challenge you. I challenge you. Try it. Oh, he's challenging us. And what's going to happen? Like a child going like this. And there's mother and father. What are they going to do? Get out of here. Of course they're not going to do that. They'll do what mothers and fathers do. And Krishna's all loving. He's all loving. He's perfect loving. He will accept you. Even we've done some bad stuff. Like we left Krishna. We walked. We went into this dark place thinking, let me find happiness separate from Krishna. And it's not been a pleasant journey. Krishna, please accept me. Even if it's not really, 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 really strong, let that desire kindle and awaken. It's a form of prayer to become the humble servant of the holy name, or specifically, Nama Prabhu. Now, at the end of this presentation in July, in Chicago, one of the attendees sent this to me. This was how it impacted them. So I'm just sharing it verbatim, how they... So the upper part is them to Krishna, saying, I'm sorry, I'm out of service, I'm broken, I don't work. Krishna, that's okay. It doesn't matter. I'm here for you. Just hear me. you know, depression is an industry in America. And this is a depression remedy. Recognize that Krishna is kind. I'm unqualified, but Krishna is very kind. I accept you. Just hear from me. Prabhupada writes, if one is understood to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if he considers himself an eternal servant of the Holy Name. And in this spirit distributes the Holy Name to the world. We are an eternal servant, and there's two things that we're being encouraged to do. Serve the name and give that opportunity to others in the world. Here's a Mother Teresa quote. Don't think for love to be genuine, it has to be extraordinary. Do small things with great love. It's in the small things that our strength lies. Yes? And what's a small thing? One name. This is another Bhurijan message. Japa. This book, Japa. He spent several years preparing that little skinny book, Japa. And by the way, Dravida Prabhu was visiting us during the Christmas holiday, and his first class was on chanting Hare Krishna prayerfully. And he held up the book and said, I use this book as the inspiration for this evening's presentation. And one of the themes, and it's like the starting points, the nine keys, those who are familiar with the book, one mantra at a time. That's like mindfulness. Don't worry about the mantras tomorrow. Don't worry about the mantras you didn't pronounce so well or so attentive. Don't think about the ones you're going to chant coming up. Chant the one that you're chanting right now, one mantra at a time, or one name. Here's Prabhupada to one of his disciples, early days. When you chant 16 rounds a day, this is Prabhupada to this disciple, you have 25,000 opportunities for perfection. Because there's 16 names times 16. Anyway, so 64 rounds is 1 lakh of names, and 16 rounds is 25,000 names. Just chant one name. This was his message. Same. One name with undivided attention. Perfection. Because all the potency is there. We're just kind of dull. We don't get it. Because we're distracted and covered and so forth. Question. Well, we hear this teaching from our founder Acharya, we shouldn't jump over the spiritual master. So is it okay to restore our religious relationship with Krishna just from Nama Prabhu? And the answer is yes, under the instruction of the spiritual master to do so. And the spiritual master teaches us directly in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, the original spiritual master, that there are 5 factors to action, and one of them is endeavor. You can't be complacent. You can't just mechanical chanting. We know that territory too much. It's not the process of bhakti is not a vending machine. You put in some coins, select the thing you want, pull the little lever, and down comes Krishna Prema. No way. There's endeavor. And this endeavor, we're hearing what that endeavor is. Endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called utsaha, or enthusiasm, directly quoting Prabhupada. So we need some intelligence to guide our endeavor. And so that's the intention in this whole presentation. Almost done. Something that I heard Prabhupada say a few times caught my attention. It wasn't like one of those things that he said again and again and again and again, but the jiva is both conscious and consciousness, or possesses consciousness. And to me, that sounded cool. I didn't know what it meant. But I was curious. What was Prabhupada's intention when he said, the soul is both conscious and consciousness? I didn't stop asking, but I didn't get an answer until I read Jiva Goswami's Tattva Sandarbha and the commentary on Tattva Sandarbha, Baladeva Vijayagurusan and Gopi's translation. So he, Jiva Goswami, cites a verse from the Shrutis that says, just like a flame or a lamp is luminous and illuminates things in the room like pots and plates. Similarly, the living entity is conscious and consciousness. So we're conscious and consciousness spreads through the senses, the knowledge acquiring senses, and you know what's out there. We can become conscious because consciousness expands. So the goal of japa is to direct with intelligence consciousness, your attentiveness, to the name in the mood of service. And when you do that, you can understand, really, using Prabhupada's words, really, who Krishna is. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave such a gift. So it's really simple to say, just say yes, I accept the gift. But there's some endeavor that's required. And this is all compliments of our founder, Acharya, giving us this wonderful gift. So that's the end of this morning's presentation. We'll see if there's... We have until 9 o'clock. Is that the schedule? Yes? So our portable microphone... If there's some comments, questions, we'll field that a little bit. Looking at Yugal Kishore, because he usually has some fascinating questions. Not yet. Okay. He'll get one. Yes. Go ahead, speak. There's a microphone. Oh. Go ahead. About the which? That one? Okay, go ahead.
So, because I heard this series in July, so I've been
yes.
trying to understand this topic of Jyeshta. And one of the things that I'm kind of understanding or trying to understand, that the Jyeshta that's being described is two part. Like one is that we give our best in service, in the mood of service.
Yes.
And the second is we earnestly await the mercy of the Lord.
Yes. That's the kripa part.
But even within the Jyeshta, these are two aspects of Jyeshta, that one is earnestly awaiting the mercy and at the same time giving one's best in service.
Well, that's just reality, that we have to await mercy. So if we have a realistic expectation, that is, the realistic expectation is you've heard me say this, our department is the service department. And the results department is Krishna's department. We have to know what our department is. That's the cheshta part. But yes, it's a subset of that service department, is I'm dependent upon mercy. I'm not independent. So, it's a subset. But the essence is making endeavor not through false ego, because false ego is doer consciousness, and the alternative to doer consciousness is I'm dependent on mercy consciousness, and that's a subset of the endeavor part. So I think it's a fair thing to say what you're saying, but I just express it differently. It's a qualified endeavor. Yeah.
So my question is coming to the same intention of realistic and practical.
Yeah.
One need to know what mercy looks like. So if I'm looking for mercy and I don't know what mercy looks like, even if it's coming to me, I'm not receiving it.
Well, yes and no. Because contaminated consciousness says, I've got my expectation of what mercy is going to look like. And one of the things that I've learned is that's a boo-boo. And one of the things Krishna does, not always, but one of the things that went a part of his repertoire is he'll supply mercy in a way that's just very different than what our expectation of what mercy looks like. So if the mercy comes in a fashion that I don't know what it looks like, but it's really mercy, it may not go in because I have an expectation of what it's going to look like. I mean, if I was Krishna, this is how I'd give mercy. But we're not Krishna. The range of what mercy can look like is without boundaries. What say you to that?
So, then, the opportunity to service itself is a mercy for a servant. What the servant looks for is an opportunity to serve.
Yes.
So, if the focus remains on this is mercy, just to get the opportunity to serve is mercy.
Yes.
Not just that mercy is dependent on the reciprocation.
Ah.
This and that.
Okay. Check the box. Yes. As long as that's what mercy looks like. And that's the definition of what mercy looks like. The opportunity to render some service. But you start defining what mercy looks like in some other way, and you've just obscured Krishna. Now Krishna may give the mercy the way that you scripted him. And then again, he may not. He may want you to know, when you surrender to me, it's on my terms. When you're engaged in my service, that's it. I mean, that's Prahlad's teachings. There's nothing else. Just, you're the master, I'm the servant. There's nothing else between us. I have no expectation for anything. You can give your mercy, have them throw me off a cliff. Have them trampled under the feet of an elephant. You can do with me whatever you like. Just one thing, Lord Chaitanya's teachings. Just keep me internally engaged in your service. That's the mercy. Now that's a high definition for conditioned souls. But that's really what mercy is. That's a transcendental expectation. It's a desire, and it's a transcendental desire. For mercy. That's what it looks like. Yes. We don't have a microphone cord long enough to reach you, so. You have a strong voice? Good. The root cause of suffering is ignorance.
So how much our endeavor
is going to be
pleasing to
Well, it depends on how far off the mark you are. There's degrees. Proportionate to is Prabhupada's language. And that the proportionate to is Krishna should be pleased. We're going to see a little slide later today that says that. That's the standard. And it's proportionate to. We'll say it the negative. Proportionate to Krishna's mercy is he gives me what I want. And that's my endeavors to get what I want. And that's my intelligence. This Krishna's got a big warehouse. And he can give all kinds of stuff. He's got lots of goodies. So I'm approaching him for some goodies. My particular favorite varieties and brand, even. And that's the mix. And it's common. Chatra vidha bhajante mam jana sukritan arjuna. It's how it starts. It's not like, shame on you. It's just a beginning. It's akama sarvakama va moksha kama udara di. Yeah. Here comes the microphone.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. I have one question on serving the holy name. So, or serving the Naam Prabhu. I'm trying to expand upon that to make sure I understand what all ways we can serve. So one you mentioned is attentiveness. Other would be like a prayerful mood. Is this also, I mean, is it one term which covers
everything? Thank you for this question, because you covered a point that I wanted to bring up, which I didn't. In preparation for this seminar, I, as you can see, probably, I spent a lot of time investing thought in the topic. And when I came across this very important point, for a whole month, my japa every day was meditating on, contemplating the mood of service to the name. But it wasn't just while chanting, because the good news is, when the mood of service to the name grows, expands, matures, it goes into everything that you do. You know, your child sitting on your lap. That's something you do that's service to the name. Everything. Go to drive your car and go to work and brush your teeth and, you know, why do you do anything? Behind it all, entrance into understanding who Krishna really is service to the name. It expands into everything that you do. Now, it starts with when you're actually chanting the name. That's where it starts. But it just expands and expands. It becomes your consciousness. The conscious and consciousness of serving the name. And then it's your whole life. And when you live your whole life in service to Krishna, you realize Krishna, who he really is. Realize means Krishna discloses, in Prabhupada's words, I am like this. He holds the prerogative of disclosing or not disclosing. That's how you can know who Krishna really is, or understand. He discloses. And what's the eligibility? Bhakti. How do we best awaken bhakti? Service to the name. So, back to your question, or the options. It's those things. The name and the person are the same. That's a nice meditation. In one of our discussions yesterday evening, that was a suggestion to one of the attendees sitting right in front of me now. You know, an intention is I'd like to deepen my awareness that the name and Krishna are the same. Well, that's an intention. That's one of them. So I accept that in principle, but I don't have that deep realization. So that's a service to the name, because the name and the person are the same. That'll help attentiveness. That intention will help attention. Or I'm chanting, what's the purpose, the why am I chanting? I want to come to the space of consciousness that the name is who I'm serving. Not only while chanting, all the while. Now how's that going to awaken? Service to the name. And then there's service to the name and service to the name. And then I'm really eager for more name chanting, not just like the counting game, as Bhaktivinoda calls it. Mechanical, devotional. It awakens bhakti. It's powerful. Something that I've realized about myself over a period of time is, like many of us, I like service. I like service. I like being a servant of others and servant of Krishna. I like it. I'm not at all uncomfortable. I like it. So when this idea of serving the name came up, it was piece of cake. Take that, I like service, and serve the name. It was easy. And the result was amazing. Be honest. You know, that lasted for a while, then I got distracted again. So I'm hoping that I'll rekindle my exercise of application. So because time is up, and I want to keep the schedule, please, before the next session, look at the exercise, see what it says, because there's going to be a kirtan, and you can do the exercise while we're here together. You don't have to wait till we depart. And you practice it while we're here together, and the request is, for at least 3 weeks, every day, when you're chanting your japa, do this exercise. And even better is take a little journal and write it down. Because then you're holding yourself accountable to the name. How you doing? Exercise. It's right there in the handout sheet. Purposefully. Intentionally. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki? Gaur Pemanandi. Yeah.